This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
4-3 Islanders over the Sabres here on a Friday night at KeyBank Center. We welcome you back to the press box along with Pat Malacaro. I'm Brian Colziel. Paul Hamilton's on his way to the Sabres locker room area. We'll get some post-game reaction from the players coming up here in just a few moments. An inconsistent night for the Sabres. And it bites them. They lose in regulation by a 4-3 margin to drop to 4-6-1 on the season. We'll update you on the standings, but no points for Buffalo tonight. They remain with 9 in the Eastern Conference. Coming up, again, locker room reaction. Paul is there. We'll get players to hear how this one and how they thought this one played out. We'll also have Lindy Ruff's post-game comments. We'll get you stats and highlights. And also, if you missed Chopin Bulldogs conversation earlier today on our flagship on WGR with Sabres GM Kevin Adams. We'll finish postgame with that tonight. Pat, a night that the Sabres came out pretty good, got the first goal. Dylan Cousins get off the snide, but they gave it up right away and very, very inconsistent in terms of the energy and the turnovers throughout was really something that bit them in the end.
Yeah, I would not have expected the Islanders to end this night. Now, if in a victory, you understand it, but I would not have expected the Islanders to have 30-plus shots in this game. 36 they finished with,
yeah.
One more than the Sabres. So, yeah, this is a night where you did a couple things really well, but in the end, it's those miscues, it's those defensive lapses that have been hallmarks, unfortunately, of this team for so long, and it's been one of the reasons why they've had such trouble getting out of this kind of rut they've been in, and a team that probably you're going to be fighting against around if you want to have one of those wild card spots, and you don't even get a point out of it. You don't even be able to salvage just one of the 2 points, and you leave with none tonight.
70 shot attempts for Buffalo in this game, and we, in the last 2 minutes, might have watched them block 10 shots. It felt like that.
Yeah, and that's what the Islanders do. They're very good at making sure you don't get the puck to the net. Ilya Sorokin has been very good this year. His numbers are outstanding. Sabres actually outpaced what Sorokin's been putting up this year. And that's after all those shot attempts even. So many blocks, sticks in the lanes, so many shots off of and passes off of skates. That's what the Islanders do so well.
Look at the 3 goals that Buffalo scores tonight. Cousins is in the crease. Zucker is in the crease. It's a shot, and he backhands it, feeds over to Cousins. The second goal is a redirection. Zucker is in the crease. The third goal, there's 7 bodies in the net, including Power, and a shot and a bounce and a rebound, and Power 1 whack and 2 whacks, and it finally goes in. Like, they were trying. You mentioned the passing lanes being clogged up. The Sabres, I thought, a lot of times tonight were trying to make a much more difficult play than the simpler play.
Yeah, you're right. And none of the goals were pretty goals against Sorokin. So, yeah, it's something if it was starting to work, maybe try and do a little bit more of it, especially when you had the momentum on your side in that third period. Just keep getting the puck to the net, and maybe another good thing would have happened and allowed the team to get the tying goal. But, yeah, just a frustrating night.
Jason Zucker was trying to will this team to win tonight. I thought he was excellent.
Gordie Howe hat trick, had the fight, had a goal, had an assist, and really had a hand in the goal that made it 4-3, even was on the ice for that. So, yeah, he had plenty of opportunities and trying to kind of lead by example a little bit as a veteran.
Yeah, Zucker gets in the fight at the end of the second, really tries to fire up the bench, comes out in the third, goes hard and forces a penalty shot, misses, but then on the next shift, ends up getting the goal. So he's been a nice addition to this team for sure, not only for what he's contributing to himself, but I think a lot of this small, simple, hardworking, smart plays that are setting up others for chances.
Yeah, he's been a playmaker and a very solid addition this past offseason. Look, you know, you're getting a veteran presence who's played in a lot of big games in his career. I don't know that you may have expected this level of potential playmaking that he has contributed immediately to this team this year, and that has been definitely one of the pleasant surprises, at least for me, of what has gone right, at least for the Sabres.
4-3, the Islanders beat the Sabres. Buffalo off to Detroit tonight. They'll face the Red Wings tomorrow. As we were just talking about Jason Zucker, he's up live first as we go down to the locker room. Paul Hamilton about to interview him. Zucker tonight, a goal, an assist, a fight, two shots, a missed opportunity shot as well. We'll get to Zucker here in a moment. Paul's just got to get a good connection down there. But Zucker, his third of the year, ends up scoring right after he gets the penalty shot. Okay, let's go down here. Zucker is live with Paul.
Puck on the ice, they're going to make a save most of the time, so I got to be a little better there, get the puck up under the bar, and I think that's a goal.
Jason Zucker. Sorry about that, Brian. But we have a few connection problems there. And we are headed over to Dylan Cousins. He's just zipping up his bag here, and he'll be ready. Dylan, that had to be a load off your mind to see that puck finally hit the back of the net for you.
Yeah, for sure. You know what, sometimes that's all you need to get going is just an easy one like that. So, but it's a great job by Zucks in front of the net to make it happen.
What happened defensively? It seemed like they had a lot of open looks that they wound up scoring on.
Yeah, we're definitely going to watch the video and see what we did wrong because we gave up way too much. It's something we talked about lots is not giving stuff up. So we had too many breakdowns today and gave them way too many looks.
You've played enough against the Islanders. You know how good they are at blocking shots. I think I heard Brian say you had over 70 shot attempts as a team. So you were trying to get pucks there, but it seemed like they were doing a pretty good job of blocking them too.
Yeah, in the D zone, they kind of just clog the middle there and do whatever it takes to get their body in front. So, you know, we got to find ways to get it around them, even if it's just putting it off the end wall and getting it back that way. But yeah, we're going to learn a lot from this game for sure.
Dylan, do you sense that the coverage issues and just the awareness issues really hurt the guys in this game? There were just a lot of weird things out there.
Yeah, I think we had a lot of lost coverages today and they capitalized off that. As a team, you know, we need to be better at not giving them easy looks like that when there shouldn't be a chance for them to score. I think it's definitely a lot about awareness coming back into our zone.
How much of a major guy is Zucker becoming in this room? I mean, the fight, trying to pump you guys up, he gets the goal, the penalty shot, he seems to be impacting a lot of these games.
Yeah, he's been in every game and he's helped us. He's given us a chance to win every game. He's obviously a veteran guy who's been around. He has a lot of experience. So he's a huge voice in this locker room and he goes out there and he works. You know, he works so hard and that fight today, it fired us up a lot and you respect the guy a ton for doing that.
They played with 4D for pretty much the whole second half of the game. Do you feel as a team you could have been harder on their D with them only having four?
Yeah, I think we definitely could have just put the puck in those guys' corners and just finished checks. You know, that takes a toll on them. And they told us that, but as players, we need to do better at going out and doing it, and we will.
Thank you, Dylan. Dylan Cousins on the post game, and Devin Levi is across the room. So let me just sprint over there.
And you know, being able to stay even keeled throughout those moments, just controlling what you can control. Most of the time, you know, if you do the right thing, the puck will end up bouncing for you. So that's kind of the mentality.
when you looked at the fourth goal in particular, I mean, what happened? You're trying to scramble back in. It looked like, you know, you got a piece of it. Pat Mill got a piece of it almost at the same time.
Yeah, that was a weird one. You know, I was playing the guy that had the puck in the slot, and, you know, he just missed the net. So I didn't know that there was a guy in the corner throwing it right back. It happened quick, so I just tried to pick up his stick, but I was a little bit late. I was a little bit out of the play. So, you know, that was just that was a weird one that, you know, sometimes you get your D, you get lucky, you get your D on the stick, or you get a, you know, a D on the backside, and sometimes the puck just bounces right on the guy's stick off a shot and put it right back in front of the net. So, you know, it is what it is. I thought the D played really well for me today, you know.
That was Devin Levi there with Paul Hamilton. We'll see if we can get that reconnected there as the Sabres fall to the Islanders by a score of 4-3. Levi was describing that fourth goal against. It was a quick one after Zucker scored. Just about 2.5 minutes later, the Islanders got the lead back to 4-2, and it looks like Paul's got it back. Here he is back with Devin Levi.
I'm inviting it head on. I'm the last line of defense, so I'm there for those moments, those opportunities. So, you know, I'm never going to blame anyone for that. You know, I'm there for those breakdowns, just like the D are there for my mistakes as well. So, you know, you get some of them, you don't get some of them. It's just how it goes sometimes. You know, I'll never back down from that challenge, from that opportunity. So,
I know you'd love to play more, but this is only your fourth opportunity this year. How did you feel out there?
Felt good. You know, I thought 2 weeks of practice has helped me a lot. Just working on some things I want to work on. I felt like they showed up in the game for me. So it's been good. Just staying ready. Just that's the mentality.
How tough was it to sit on the Columbus game? I mean, you were working hard in practice, but it had been 2 weeks since that game.
Yeah, you know, I think I did my best to just, you know, flesh out the system after the game. Kind of one of those games that you take something from it and then, you know, you park it. I don't think, you know, I'm not carrying that with me. It's games like that happen. You see it all over the league. So being able to learn from it and then apply what you learned moving forward is important. And I feel like I did that pretty well. So I'm happy with where I'm at. Yeah, I felt good. I was just having fun, you know, trying to give the team the best chance to win, you know, taking every opportunity head on, just trying to compete out there, stop the puck.
Thank you, Devin. Yeah, thank Devin you. Levi in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Paul, Devin Levi faced 36 shots and made 32 saves in the loss. Levi, I thought, was very good in his first two starts, was not good in the Columbus game. And tonight, I'll give it a so-so performance in net as he gives up four in the 4-3 loss to the Islanders. Likely, we will see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen tomorrow, I would guess, in the game in Detroit against the Red Wings. We'll have that for you 7 o'clock tomorrow night right here along the Sabres radio network. All right, still to come, we'll have Lindy Ruff's press conference, so don't go anywhere. We expect Lindy very, very quickly here because the team is heading off to the plane to Detroit. So we'll be ready for Lindy Ruff here at any moment. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's take. We'll get you some stats and some highlights. And also at the end of the post game, we'll have the conversation with Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. He joined our flagship station WGR, Chopin the Bulldog, earlier this afternoon. So we'll have that conversation coming up on the state of the team from the GM. As the team now 1 month in here, as we moved on November, Buffalo now 4-6-1. The Islanders have now passed Buffalo in the standings, as they now improve. Let's see, they had 8 points coming in, so now a regulation win for the Islanders puts them at 10. The Sabres stay at 9. You can look at it two ways here. Buffalo is a win away from the wild card spot, which is 11 right now with Columbus, or you're 1 point out of being dead last. The last place team is 9. If you want to say they're tied for last, you could. The Red Wings, the Sabres, the Canadiens, the Flyers, the Bruins, the Penguins. Those are 6 teams right now that all have 9 points. Nobody in the East has less. So that is a huge logjam right now. Florida has been the best team in the East, and that's not a surprise. They won today, earlier today, in Finland in the Global Series game. They'll play tomorrow at noon against Dallas in Finland again. But Florida, 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've won 4 in a row. They're 8-3-1. They basically have just picked up right where they left off from winning the Stanley Cup last year. Sam Reinhart had a couple of goals today. Barkov was excellent, 4 points in that game. And Florida right now leading the Atlantic by 3 over the Lightning and 4 over the Leafs. And then you get down to Ottawa and the at 10. And then, as I mentioned, that logjam with Detroit, Buffalo, Montreal, Boston, Pittsburgh all with 9 right now. So you get a win tomorrow against Detroit. Not only can you springboard yourself over the wings, but a chance to move on other teams. Okay, Lindy Ruff is now live. Let's head there to the media room.
Awareness was a big problem today. The guys were sneaking behind you, and you guys didn't know they were there.
No, totally missed assignment on the first goal. And, you know, again, we left the middle of the ice on the fourth goal. Those are mistakes that are killing us. We score a goal and then immediately give up the goal in the first period, which, you know, I think when you've got guys who are struggling and they're thinking offense, eventually it's going to bite you, and it bit a few guys tonight.
They were a team that came in really struggling offensively. You get the sense that they found some confidence when your mistakes fed.
For sure. I mean, let's be real. We handed them 3 goals. You know, we'd been playing pretty tight. It's starting to slip. And again, we get beat one-on-one. We got a defenseman caught deep where a forward's covering and gets on the wrong side of the puck on an easy coverage play. You're not going to win a lot of games if you hand the opposition, 2 or 3 breakaways or a 2-on-1 on nothing plays.
Down to 4D for pretty much half the game. Do you think your forwards were hard enough on their D?
No, I don't. I didn't think we won enough battles. I think that, you know, they got some big boys back there. We didn't win enough battles. We were, we got in, and it was like one and done. There were some, I thought we had some players with, 50-50 battles that we got to be better on.
Jason Zucker with another.
That sparks your team. I didn't even see really what happened or what started, but I think just he got caught up in the emotion of the game, which is good. He had a good night. I mean, really scored the goal. He had the penalty shot. He was in on some big moments. He was in a lot more moments than a lot of other players were.
What did you think of Devin's game tonight?
This game isn't on our goalie again. I'm just telling you. I have to clean up. That's on me. I got to clean up our play. We've been defending well. We had a focal point on making sure we stay around the front of the net. And really, the first goal and the fourth goal are goals that just they can't happen. Can't happen.
Is that why we switched some D pairs around there?
Yeah. We switched some forwards and switched some D. And again, bad penalties. We took some bad penalties.
They're known to block shots. They blocked quite a few, especially in the last couple minutes there. What can you do when you're playing a team like that?
I think, again, you look at the end. We scored. We made it 4-3. It was just McLeod getting the puck to the front of the net. It wasn't a bomb one-timer. It wasn't trying to shoot through anybody. He got the puck to the front of the net where, it could rattle around a little bit. We had him outnumbered. Late, we had the same play. Tuck should have moved it to Dahlin. Dahlin was fronted. We move it to the side and just get it to the net front. We're going to get another look. Your point about, we knew they would be in Thompson's, probably in Thompson's shot lane. We knew they'd be in Dahlin's shot lane. So JJ had 2 or 3 looks. I think he missed the net. Those have to hit the net. We fought our way back. It looked like we were going to get another good look. We didn't. Yeah, continue to use these plays as stuff that we have to learn from. We were going in the right direction. I've got to get our guys in the mentality that even after we just scored a goal, that next shift is so important for momentum for us or momentum for them. And we gave them momentum, so thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff and his post-game coach's interview brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Call Steve Foley Law. We bring it back up here to the press box. Brian Colziel with you. 4-3, Islanders beat the Sabres. Lindy saying the first and fourth goal against can't happen. Then he says it's on me. He goes, I got to get the goalies better coverage on those plays too. He loved Zucker's game tonight. I think we all did. But he basically said, look, the Islanders, we handed them three goals tonight. We didn't win enough battles. Every time we got in the zone, it seemed like it was one and done. All right. So there's Lindy. We'll take a timeout here. Say to all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening on WGR, when we come back, we'll get you some highlights, some stats. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's take on this one. Islanders beat the Sabres 4-3. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening to the postgame. More coming up from KeyBank Center right after this timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Horvat slides it. Backhand by Lee. Back in front. Levi bats it in as he tries to get back into position. And the Islanders regain their two-goal lead with 11:52 to go in the third.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call, and that is our goal of the game. J.G. Pageau, the game winner, 8:08, put the Islanders back up 4-2. That was just a few minutes after Zucker got Buffalo back in the game and got the building back in the game, but he's able to beat Levi to the puck there, and kind of it was a bang-bang play. The goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. By the way, kudos to the folks at Roswell Park and the Sabres for putting on tonight's Hockey Fights Cancer Night. A wonderful night to be in the building for the rallying and the, you know, and the honoring and all the things that go on this night. And, of course, as we continue to research and try to find a cure, permanent cure for cancer, kudos to everybody at Roswell Park for what they do. All right, let's go down to the media room. Paul Hamilton is there. Paul, Lindy Ruff didn't mince words with the goals against. He didn't like them. Basically said they handed him three of the four, and then went on to blame himself for some of it too. When he was asked about Devon Levi, said he's got to help get the goalies some more help too. So it obviously the defensive zone tonight as a whole he did not like at all.
Well, one thing that's not improving is this lack of awareness on this team. It has plagued this team since this group of players even showed up on this team. It's been like this for years. It blows my mind how unaware they are. All four goals you could call on awareness, that they're just oblivious to the people around them. Whether it's giving the puck away, whether it's not realizing they're behind them, whether it's realizing they're wide open around the net, it's just alarming and shocking. And Lindy Ruff is right. He's got to find a way to get it out of them. And, you know, get them to where their coverages are good. But, at the other end of the ice, you get 35 shots on goal. You get 23 shots blocked, and you miss the net on 15 of them.
73.
Yeah, that's just – that's just, you know, and – but the problem is, you know they're going to block a lot of shots. They've been doing that, again, for years. So you – and as Lindy Ruff said, they knew it. They came in talking about it, and there are ways around it that the Sabres weren't doing. Now, you like the three goals that they scored because they all were around the crease. They had guys around the crease battling. But where they didn't battle, and again, I'll reference Lindy Ruff, they had four defensemen for over half the game. Pollock played 25-21. Dobson played 24-55. Mayfield played 21-27. And Romanoff played 23-52. So you've got them on the ice. You've got to get in there, and you've got to wear them down. You've got to forecheck. You've got to take the body. You got to go in there and try to win some battles. And they weren't winning battles. They weren't hard enough on the battles. They weren't hard enough on those 4D. You had half the game to wear that defense down, and you didn't even come close. I mean, they were still blocking shots and winning battles right down to the final buzzer. And, they gave a team that came in the worst scoring team in the National Hockey League, they gave them confidence without two very good offensive players who were out injured. And it's just, they basically hung Levi out to dry for four goals. And, yeah, you know me. I would love it if Levi could make a big save for him at some point there. He did make some big saves along the way. I thought he had the original breakaway. I believe it might have been the first goal we're talking about. I think he got a piece of it, and I thought he had that one. But he got hung out, and you're just giving him wide-open chances and handing him pucks and turning the puck over and being completely and totally oblivious to what's going on around him. And it cost him a hockey game. Quite frankly, I know it's hard to say when they had 73 shot attempts and 35 on net and scored 3 goals, but in my mind, that was their worst hockey game. I just thought they didn't compete as far as getting in on those defensemen and winning battles. They did compete on their three goals to get guys to the net to get those goals. But that game was inexcusable. I'm sorry.
Paul Hamilton down in the media room following a 4-3 Islanders victory. Buffalo will be right back at it tomorrow against the Red Wings. 7 o'clock faceoff right here on the Sabres radio network. Paul, Jason Zucker's impact on this game, he was trying to will them to win. He was, I thought, you know, maybe you could argue the Sabres' best player here tonight, Paul. He was in on a whole bunch of facets, and he's been, I think, very good just overall this season, but tonight was one of his best.
I got to think to myself, he's got to be looking around going, what is this? Really? I'm not kidding. He's got to be, because he's new to this, and you see the type of player he is. He got in a fight, got bloodied to try to get the crowd into it, which he was successful in doing, to try to get his players excited. He's the one that scored the first two power play goals of the year. You know, he plays hard to get the penalty shot. And even though he didn't score on the penalty shot, he scored a few seconds later, you know, by going to the net. I mean, he does the things right that need to be done. And he's just got to be looking around going, what is this guy, this group? I mean, come on. And it's not like it's over or anything like that, but this is a game you can't lose, especially after you just finished losing to the Stanley Cup champions, which is no embarrassment at all. But you can't come out and lay this egg on your next home game when you had plenty of time to rest. It wasn't like you were tired. You can't come out and lay this egg against the New York Islanders.
4-3 the final. Islanders beat the Sabres. Paul, what do you think of Devin Levi's night?
As I said, they hung him out. Now, as I said, would you hope that maybe you could get a big save on some of those goals? But, you know, you look at your notes, he did make big saves in other places. Yep. And it's basically, you know, Siplikoff, you know, first there's a turnover by Greenway. Second, Siplikoff just undressed Clifton and just cuts to the net. He gets Levi moving and score. You know, he's a gifted offensive player. So he winds up scoring on that. Horvat comes in on a clean breakaway, and Levi got a piece of it, but not enough. And, you know, that one winds up going in the net. You know, tic-tac-toe to Paul Mary. Nobody bothered to cover him, so he has a layup. And, you know, the last goal by Peugeot, it's on the back wall. Horvat gets it in front. At first, I thought it might have gone in off Levi, but it didn't. Peugeot comes to the net. Guess what? Nobody's with him. So he just gets the puck, and Levi has no chance on that layup. So there's not even a chance for a big save on that goal. There's not a chance for a big save on the Palmieri goal. Maybe on the first two, you have a chance at it, but it's not easy saves. So, you know, as Lindy Ruff said, this isn't on the goaltender. I mean, the goaltender wasn't oblivious letting guys walk in on breakaways, and the goaltender wasn't not, you know, being hard on four defensemen for half the game and losing one-on-one battles and not engaging in those. The goaltender wasn't getting 23 shots blocked. I just have a hard time saying, as I watch four goals go in from the worst scoring team in the National Hockey League, you might be tempted to say Levi's got to be better. And I'm sure all the, you know, I haven't had a chance to look at them, but I'm sure, you know, the analytic numbers are not good. But this is one where maybe you got to watch the game and forget about the analytic numbers.
Paul, Detroit is tomorrow, back-to-back. The Red Wings haven't played since Tuesday. They're there. They're going to be rested. So you're at least going to get a well-rested Wings team, but the Sabres were the well-rested team tonight. I would assume Luukkonen will go tomorrow. Just a quick thought on tomorrow night's game and the importance. Another divisional game. You beat them in regulation a week ago. You're tied in the standings with Detroit.
I think if you just stop being dumb, you know, and be aware of your surroundings and just play the game, make the safe play. Don't complicate things. Make the safe play. They've shown us they can play decent defense when they want to. They've shown us they can kill penalty plays when they want to. They've shown us for six games where they average 4.5 goals a game when they want to. But, you know, you're probably a little bit tired too. So I think maybe getting 4 goals in the game, it might be asking a little too much. But you've got to, if you're going to win a back-to-back, you can't have the mistakes that we saw tonight. You just cannot beat yourself. You can't take – you got to make sure you don't take dumb penalties. You got to make sure you're aware of what's going on around you. You got to make sure you make the right play. If there's any question, just be smart. Don't try a cross-ice pass or a goofy pass or something like that. Make sure that you're making the right play and play the long game. You know, you play the long game with the Red Wings and try to frustrate them because they know you're doing everything you can to win a hockey game. And I think if you do it that way, you've got a chance to be able to be successful in a back-to-back situation.
This will be the third back-to-back scenario for the Sabres this year. They had the one in Prague, lost in New Jersey. They had the one with Columbus following the Pittsburgh game, and they lost to the Blue Jackets. So 0-2 in the second of back-to-back games so far. They're obviously going to try and snap that mini slump, drought, whatever you want to call it, tomorrow in Detroit. Paul, thank you so much for your work tonight. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the pregame show.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Paul Hamilton there. If you're listening on your way home from KeyBank Center, we appreciate you doing so, and your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Some final stats here, then we'll get Pat's scoreboard in. Now, they're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The shots end up 36-35 in favor of the Islanders, but we mentioned the shot attempts for Buffalo, 73. 23 of them ended up being attempted and blocked, and then 15 more missed the net. I mean, so that is 38 more on top of the 35 that got to Sorokin. But if you look at all the goals, they're around the net, their rebounds, and their redirections. As the Sabres seem to be wanting to maybe, as I'll quote Don Granato from last year, Pat, he said, pass their way to a goal sometimes. There was a couple of times the Sabres entered either through the neutral zone or into the offensive zone where it looked like something was developing, and then they would try a pass where it inevitably hit a leg or hit an arm or hit a stick.
And it resulted in some of those cases going the other way for goals.
Yes.
So, yeah, it not only negated opportunities in the offensive end, but a couple of times tonight it resulted in opportunities that helped result in a couple of those 4 goals for the Islanders and kind of compounded the issue for Buffalo.
Power led the team in shots with 6. Dahlin had 5. Quinn had 4, as did J.J. Paterka. We know Cousins moved to the wing tonight. His goal came while they were on the power play. Cousins tonight had 1 goal, a minus 1, a penalty, 19-14 of ice time, 1 shot on goal.
And his only official shot of the night.
Yeah, went into the net for sure. And I think, you know, we've said it before, Jason Zucker for the Sabres, their best player tonight.
Yeah, and it goes beyond just the offense and just trying to – seeing that his team needed a spark, trying to ignite the team with that fight late in the second period. So there's a veteran who's been around it enough that to know when to try and do something like that. And, you know, didn't result in the win, but the team definitely – I think you saw more out of them in the third period than you – probably did in the first, or probably the 30 minutes leading up to that point. I wouldn't want to say the first 2 periods completely, but definitely was something they kind of got a little spark from as they came out of locker room for the third.
Yeah, Zucker, third star of this game as we get to the 3 stars. Bo Horvat, second star for the Islanders. He had a goal and an assist. as did Maxim Siplikov. He ends up being the first star of this hockey game. He also had a goal and an assist. The power plays tonight, Islanders were 1 of 4 and the Sabres 1 of 5. They did have 24 seconds of a 5-on-3 early in the second period where they could have gotten the lead back. Obey Kubel, remember, took the roughing call at the end of the first. They come out, kill the penalty, then end up getting a 5-on-3 power play, which they did not score on right there. Your power play report, your Dynabraid.com power play update, powered by Dynabraid Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. The attendance tonight at KeyBank Center, 17,074. Sabres will next play tomorrow against Detroit. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6. And then Buffalo's next home game will be right back here Tuesday against the Ottawa Senators at 7 o'clock. All right, let's get the scoreboard. We send things back over to Pat here as we see what happened in the rest of the night in the National Hockey League.
Thanks, Brian. A light night around the league. We'll take a look around the NHL, brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. Midway through the third period in Minnesota, Jake Guentzel getting his fifth of the season, Brock Faber his second. The Wild and Lightning locked in a 2-2 tie, 11:13 to go, third stanza there. Just about to start the second period in Calgary, where the Flames and Devils are scoreless, while this afternoon in the NHL's Global Series in Finland, it was the Panthers upending the Stars 6-4. Sam Reinhart, a couple of goals, 3 points in the victory for Florida. And Igor Shesterkin makes 40 saves for the Rangers as New York tops Ottawa 2-1. And also Nikolai Ehlers, a hat trick for the Jets. They triple up the Blue Jackets 6-2. And a big night for the Americans in the AHL. Rochester thumps Utica 8-1, the final there, as Rochester scoring 6 times in the third period for that runaway victory. And a couple of notes in local college hockey as well. Niagara with a 5-3 victory over Mercyhurst tonight up at the campus of NU. And just across the street at the Lecom Harbor Center, Canisius with a 6-1 win over Army West Point. But as we mentioned in the second intermission, Brian, some of the Sabre connections there. The son of Marty Baron, Jacob, had 7 saves as he came in relief for Army West Point tonight. Came in a losing effort, but a proud night for Marty for sure.
Yeah, really cool. Congrats, Marty, if you're listening on your way home. And a real great family moment for the Barons. He makes his collegiate debut there. No immediate update on the Islanders right now from Patrick Waugh on Adam Pellick or Mike Riley. We know Pat, kind of a scary moment there. Mike Riley down to the ice, looked like he was not moving at all. Eventually got up, helped to the bench, and then eventually looked like he walked down to the tunnel mostly in his own power. So that was a good sign, but no immediate update from Patrick Waugh. He does confirm, though, that Riley is going to travel back with the team. So if you're going back on the plane, that's a very good sign.
Yeah.
I should say a pretty good sign. I don't want to play doctor here. I shouldn't do that. But Bo Horvat did say that it seemed like Riley was doing better after the game and was able to have a normal conversation. So that's good.
Yeah, and you know that meant the Islanders were down 2 defensemen for a majority of the game tonight.
Yeah.
And you know, good to see that Riley was able to get up and, you know, after such a scary situation when you see the stretcher come out immediately as the trainers and the medical staff were assessing him as quickly as they were. And that's another part of it as well, is everybody got on the ice so quickly to assess how his condition, and luckily it was him skating off and going off on his own, and the Islanders able to sustain without 2 of their defensemen tonight, even with that. All those block shots and kept the Sabres from getting that equalizer.
2 defensive injuries, throwing the fact Matthew Barzal was also out with an injury. So they got to feel really good about this win.
Yeah, it's one of those where it can really galvanize your team in the end and something to build on for the Islanders.
Injury report right there, brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph's Campus. Go with Joes. 4-3, Islanders beat the Sabres. Buffalo playing Detroit tomorrow. We'll preview that game, see what the Red Wings are up to. When we return here, his conversation earlier today on WGR. Final again from KeyBank Center in front of over 17,000. New York 4, Buffalo 3. We'll be back with more of the postgame right after this quick timeout on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Here's Circle. Horvat takes a look. Far post. Oh, Devin Levi was quick there. Got there in a hurry once again and keeps this in a one-goal game.
Save there from Devin Levi on Brock Nelson. Levi was busy. 36 shots in this game for the Islanders. He lets in four as the Sabres fall 4-3. Welcome back here. Final segment of the postgame. Brian Colziel with you. Our save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Great deals on the entire Honda lineup. To see them all, you can visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Well, tomorrow it's Detroit, and we'll let you know what the Wings are up to. I at least will tell you this. They're struggling to score. They lost in their last outing to Winnipeg badly, but they haven't played since Tuesday. So while the Sabres played tonight, we'll have to travel. Again, it's not a long flight, probably less than an hour by the time they're up in the air. But, you know, you're getting in later, you're traveling, you're not sleeping in your own house. They will have to play tomorrow. Well, Detroit hasn't played since Tuesday. So likely, if I'm the Sabres, you're thinking you have to come out and be ready to go here because you may not have the legs that you want in the third period, and you can't be doing catch-up mode at that point like you did tonight. So we'll see how that affects tomorrow night's game. Again, the Steve Foley Law pregame, I'll have it at 6, and then puck drop with Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray just after 7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.